Now, Israeli authorities have postponed a debate on building permits for the largest Israeli settlement inside a Palestinian neighborhood in occupied East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. City Council's Planning and Construction Committee gave no reason for the postponement. Israeli settlement watchdog Peace Now says plans for the units inside the Palestinian neighborhood of Jabal al-Mukabir have already been approved. NGO added that it would be the largest Israeli settlement inside any Palestinian neighborhood. Peace Now says the move is indicative of a major change in Israel's expansionism in Palestinian populated areas. Since U.S. President Donald Trump took office in January, Tel Aviv has intensified its settlement activity in occupied Palestinian territories, and all Israeli settlements are illegal under international law. And now joining us is Salma Al-Karmi Ayoub, a Palestinian human rights lawyer, and pardon me, she's joining us out of London. Hello, ma'am, and thanks for joining us now. So what kind of message is Tel Aviv not only sending to Palestinians with this move, but also to the international community, which is really concerned about peace in the region between these two factions, and more so about Palestinians' rights and about their marginalization by Tel Aviv?
Well, I think it's giving out a very clear signal that Israel has no respect whatsoever for international law on the one hand, in the sense of the fact that settlements being built in occupied territory is illegal, but also in particular that Israel has no respect for the two-state solution or any prospect of East Jerusalem becoming the Palestinian capital. Because in a future deal, because I think what's striking about this particular move, if it goes ahead, is that it means a large settlement is being built in a Palestinian neighborhood of East Jerusalem, whereas up until now only kind of small settler units have been built inside already existing Palestinian neighborhoods, and that will make it very difficult for Palestine to become, for East Jerusalem rather, to become a future capital of the state of Palestine, even according to the so-called Clinton parameters, which is where even if the entirety of East Jerusalem doesn't come under Palestinian sovereignty, the idea would be that at least the Palestinian neighborhoods in East Jerusalem would eventually come under Palestinian sovereignty. And putting a settlement in the heart of a Palestinian neighborhood makes even that more limited a step difficult to achieve.
And are you concerned what might take place over the next 3.5 years? I mean, with this U.S. president in office, it seems like Tel Aviv feels more emboldened to carry out any kind of policy it seems fit, and it feels like it almost seems like it feels with impunity it can do anything with a carte blanche.
Yes, I mean, I think that Israel is definitely taking Trump's presidency as a kind of green light for settlement expansion and for it to really not only break the rules of the game that have been sort of held until now, but to not even try, even on a rhetorical kind of level, to maintain a kind of guise of pursuing a two-state solution. I suppose that's the thing that's different. So Israel's been expanding settlements, creating facts on the ground for decades now, which frustrate the ability to achieve a two-state solution. I think they're not even bothering now that Trump is in the presidency to keep up the pretense of wanting a two-state solution. Now, whether Trump's policy towards Israel is really to give that green light is less clear, because his policy has been, let's say, incoherent at best. There's been quite a lot of mixed messages and backtracking on his part. But the point is really Israel is taking his presidency as a green light to do whatever it wants. And it doesn't seem that Trump or all the people around him are willing to really in any way punish Israel for those sorts of actions.
What kind of impact do you think this is going to have on the little peace and stability that we are seeing between Palestinians and Israelis, having Israeli families move into Palestinian neighborhoods in large swaths like this?
Well, I mean, I think this is really part of a kind of more long-standing policy that Israel's been pursuing for at least 2 years or so, of really stoking up unrest in East Jerusalem and almost trying to push the city, it feels like, to a tipping point. You've had the moves with the Al-Aqsa mosque in which Israel was trying to consolidate it, further consolidate its control over it. You've had attacks already happening of Palestinians by Palestinians and against Palestinians in East Jerusalem over the last 2 years. So I think a move like this would really inflame the situation more than it's already inflamed. And I can't really understand what Israel's kind of ultimate game plan for Jerusalem is, but it seems as though it is intent on stoking up kind of ethnic tensions between Palestinians and Israeli settlers in East Jerusalem.
And at this point, do Palestinians have any means of legal recourse to try to sustain or maintain any of their rights in the face of all this hostile takeover by Israeli forces and the Israeli regime?
The difficulty is, although Israel's actions, its policies and practices are very clearly contrary to international law, and international law generally is something that's self-enforcing, so it's difficult to find a way to force Israel to comply with international law. Israel sort of has to abide by international, has to be willing itself to abide by international law. Unless measures were taken by the international community much more radical than have been until now, such as, for example, sanctions, it's difficult to see how to get Israel to comply with international law. The only possible card that the Palestinians kind of have is that they did join the International Criminal Court 2 years ago, and it's possible that the International Criminal Court could pursue a war crimes case against Israeli leaders for actions like this one.
Thank you for joining us, Salma Karmi Ayoub out of London, Palestinian human rights attorney. Thanks, ma'am.